Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Axon remains the Bulletin. My name's Kevin Graham, as usual, and this is a Wednesday. Hump Day, as David O'Raw comes in and calls it. Happy. I hate Wednesdays. Thank you very much, David. When there's no game. Oh, I didn't read that, but so you're happy to see us. That's great. That's great. When there's no game. Happy Hump Day. Wednesday's my favourite waste of time, and I'm joined by Patrick and Paddy this Wednesday. John is unfortunately otherwise engaged. Stop cheering at the back of the room there. I can hear he's cheering at the back of the room. I'm going to ask Paddy that question. Can you remember that song, My Favourite Waste of Time?
I do. That was one back in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yes.
I can't remember who sang it though. No, I don't remember the group. But I've got the song in my head, but I don't remember the name of the band. You're my favourite waste.
That's the one.
My singing's no great right enough though. It's probably as bad as my Celtic knowledge, but there you go.
Well, there is a Celtic connection with that song.
Is that right?
There is a Celtic connection with that song. Young Patrick's looking at us and gone, where he's gone with us.
No, that's a song I recognise.
Is that a song you recognise? Because the 80s is cool now, we all use young kids. Eh? I mean, the 80s has been, I grew up in the 80s and it was an utterly terrible time for music, fashion and just general.
All round awful.
I mean, we could only have a bath on a Sunday night when they switched on the Alerta. That's how I grew up. Drew Mack, CFC, comes in. Oh, Martin Kay, afternoon, folks. Drew Mack comes in. It was sung by a guy called Owen Paul.
Great knowledge.
Who was a Celtic apprentice and signed the same time as Charlie Nicholas for Celtic.
Oh, there you go.
He left Celtic after he heard he claims to have left Celtic after he heard the Sex Pistols. That's why I think he updated his own Wikipedia page to put that in.
Right.
I mean, maybe he left Celtic because he was like rotten or something like that. Drew, I'm going to come in here. Paul Owen, real name. His actual real name's Owen McGee. So there you go.
There you go. That's your Wednesday trivia.
1986. Right, Paddy. What band would make, if you had an apprenticeship with Celtic, what band would you leave? If you heard a band, what band would make you leave signing for Celtic?
Oh my God. Wet is one that was big when I was growing up, but obviously for that reason alone. I look at the face. Are you stuck or are you just in shock?
I'm just in shock that you would actually mention Wet.
Oh, do you know what? I don't. You know, I loved Celtic that band when I was wee. Do you know that? I loved it when I was wee. When I say wee, when were they out? In the 80s? Early 80s, early 90s, wasn't it? So I'd have been about, 12, 13 at the time. So I liked that band, but the band that
so,
I was leaving.
So you're kicking about cleaning Paul McStay's bits, Tommy Burns' bits, Davey Pro.
Singing Wishing I Was Lucky.
And the drummer, Graham Clark, was that the drummer of Wet, comes
oh,
to
God,
and goes
I can't
like
remember.
That.
Was that the guy with the ginger hair, wasn't it?
That Matt Apello guy's a bit of a hero, by the way. I want you to replace him. And you would have left your dream to go in front, Wet.
Oh, do you mean leave Celtic to go to a band? I thought you meant another way about. Oh, for God's sake, no. Sorry, I thought you meant another way about.
No. You've already said that you would leave
Celtic. Oh, there you go, man. I outed myself.
And that's out there.
I outed myself. No, I thought you meant another way about. What band would you leave to go and play for Celtic? I thought that's what you meant.
I'd leave Wet.
Nothing would make me leave Celtic. Ever.
No, you've already said that you would leave.
I know, that's it.
But, see wet.
I'm waiting to get booted at the group chat now.
Well, Paddy in the comments, get Paddy away from that. Bring back Big John.
No way, man.
You've already got it. Young Patrick,
for clarity,
which band, if they came to you, would you leave Celtic for?
Probably none. I can't think of one. I wouldn't say I'm a big follower of bands. Personally, I just like listening to different genres of music, so I don't think there is one that would make me leave Celtic. No, I don't think so. That's a boring answer, but it's the truth, I think.
It's a boring answer. We need to put stuff out there. I mean, this is just fantasy football stuff.
Let's edit out that last 3 minutes, Eri, and just put in Stereophonics for me then. That would be one band.
Stereophonics.
There you go. That was one band that I grew up with in my college years that I just could not stop listening to, and I seen them live at Tina Park. So, Stereophonics, there you go.
I'm going to be boring. Mine's would have been the Stone Roses, and because I'm talentless, I've got no musical talent whatsoever, but the Stone Roses used to have a guy called Cresser who danced about in the background, and that was probably as much as my musical talent would have took me to. Mine's would have been the Stone Roses, but there we go. That's the headlines. That's the Celtic fan media headlines this afternoon. Paddy.
Yeah, that's me.
Paddy would leave Celtic to go front wait. There you go.
There you go. I'm a better singer anyway.
See, I can't there was something in my mind. Tommy Cunningham was the drummer and Tim, the wrestler. There's a reason that I says the drummer. I knew there was a reason that I says the drummer. There was a reason. Right, we're here to talk about the last 24 hours. So I'm going to ask young Patrick this. Who is Scott Brown after watching his interview yesterday?
Who's Scott Brown?
Aye. What did you make of Scott Brown now after seeing him sitting there with the hair and being a kind of sensible manager?
Yes, he's a totally different man, isn't he? As opposed to the guy that likes to get stuck in and shave his head before every game. But he's always spoken quite well, certainly since I've been, you know. Old enough to remember him speaking after matches and stuff. He's always spoken really well. I think he leaves everything on the pitch, doesn't he? When he's off the pitch, he is quite sensible. He was always a leader in training. So I think off the pitch, he's always been a fairly sensible character. The hair is questionable. I don't think I'll ever get used to that. But it was obviously quite good of him. You know, he spoke at great length yesterday. I think he spoke for 30 minutes to fan media, and then obviously you've got the telly and the newspapers and all that sort of stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. It's good to have him back, sort of being associated with Celtic and talk about Celtic and talk about Ange and stuff, and it should be a good night. I think it's the 18th of May, so that should be enjoyable.
I thought Paddy was very relaxed. Especially, he was very personable with the lads that were asking the questions as well. He took time to remember their names, and some of them he would have knew. I mean, he's bound to have known Declan. He's bound to get who Declan was when Declan asked him the question. But he was very personable. And I'm even going to let him off calling Mikael Lustig Lusto. I'm even going to let him off. I mean, that should annoy me, but because it was Scott, because it was Bruni, it was saying it, I'm going to let him off with that.
Wait, would you let him off with Parkers, do you think?
No.
Need to get slightly with that. Nobody.
That's a bar. That's worse than saying you would leave Celtic to join Wet.
Oh, thanks for that, man. Cheers. They maybe bring it up then, it'll just destroy my credibility, but keep going, mate.
Hey, the more you say a lie, the more it becomes fact.
Well, that's true, man. I'm waiting for people to kind of unfollow me on Twitter now for that one. I thought Scott Brown, he looked like a totally different person yesterday, didn't he? And he looked as if he spoke about the club and about the fans with just some great affection. So different from when he spoke when he was a captain. It was more, like you said, more personable. He was very relaxed. I put it in a group chat yesterday, just looked like a different person. I thought the way he spoke about the memories of playing for Celtic and his love for the club was brilliant. He was just a totally different guy. The hair is something we need to get used to, right enough. But he did say that he did just shave his hair simply just for playing that 90 minutes, didn't he? And it did make him look like a bit of a warrior in the park. But I think yesterday, I really enjoyed his interview. I think the night is going to be tremendous, just going through the kind of wee snippets he gave us at that press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I think I thought he just looked really relaxed, and he still clearly holds a lot of affection for Celtic.
He does hold a lot of affection for Celtic, and which is interesting because he's not from a Celtic background at all. And I found it interesting that he was talking about Callum McGregor as well, Patrick, saying that he completely loves the club. And there are rumours out there that Callum McGregor's no from a Celtic background either, eh? But listen to Bruni talk about Callum McGregor, saying he was the only choice in that dressing room to become captain. Makes you all feel daft when we question it, eh? It does, when we look back, hindsight's a wonderful thing, eh? But you go, well, we didn't expect that for Callum McGregor.
Well,
there's
only one Paddy that likes wet in this broadcast.
Oh, man, I know.
No, I was quite open to McGregor being the captain. Suppose it's mainly because there wasn't really anyone else. I mean, James Forrest was really the only other contender, and you know, he's not a voice in the dressing room, is he? So it could never be him. So I think it was always going to be McGregor after Tierney left, and you know, he stepped up to it, and you just need to look at his record at Hampden. I mean, he's a winner. I think he's 15 finals at Hampden for Celtic across all age groups, and he's won every single one of them. So, a great captain, and I forgot the first part of your question now, Kevin. What was the other part of that question?
I can't remember either. But there we go. he was talking about like Cal McGregor and the attributes that he showed, and he had no doubt that he was the right man for Celtic. And I see similarities between Bruni and Callum McGregor, because it's easy for us guys sitting here. We all come from a Celtic background, they didn't.
Non-Celtic background.
So they've grown to love the club once they've got in there. Bruni talks about like Olympics, Peter Wall and guys like that helping them through a really tough emotional time with them. And I think it just shows you the inclusive nature of our club. And I see a lot of wee Greg Taylor in that now as well. Another one whose past has been doubted. But now, you look at him and he loves it here. I mean, there was a banner at the Green Brigade Hub says your grandchildren will be Celtic fans. It's not even your grandchildren, it's your guys who supported you at primary school will be Celtic fans.
I think it's quite different when you're a footballer, because I've said this about Kieran Tierney in the past and how he's made out to be a big Celtic fan. But I think growing up supporting Celtic is all about, you know, going to the games, going home and away, buying a season ticket, buying scarves, buying pies and stuff, and experiencing that disappointment. Whereas guys like Tierney and McGregor, not that I'm taking it away from them, they're not any less of a Celtic fan, but it is a different experience to play for Celtic from the age of 7, from the age of 9, not to be going on supporters' buses, not to be spending any money. I mean, for God's sake, Celtic are actually paying them to be players for the majority of their time at the club. So it's a completely different relationship, in my opinion. And, you know, you can question whatever team McGregor's family supports, but I think he'd been at Celtic since he was 9 years old. So I think, you know, he probably can't claim to have supported anyone else. Not really. I mean, when you're at Celtic for 20 years, there's no one else to pick, really.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Aye, there isn't really. Again, if you haven't watched the interview, the interview's up on the channel. I can't remember when the night is, but it's interesting. It's interesting to see Scott Brown as Scott Brown, the manager. And obviously, it chucks up Paddy the questions. Will he one day return to Celtic Park as a manager? I thought he was quite honest when he actually said yesterday, I've only been winning many trophies with Fleetwood at this moment in time.
he's doing a grand job now, though, isn't he? I mean, where did they get to in the FA Cup? Was it the fifth round they got to for the first time in their history? I'm sure it was.
Oh, it was a club record, anyway.
Aye, and for a club like Fleetwood, when he took over, I think they were third bottom of their division, whatever division they're in, and they're slowly but surely starting to make headway up that league table. So, look, there's a massive difference between doing it at Fleetwood and doing it at Celtic, but there's no doubt that Scott Brown would certainly bring that passion and that desire to be successful at Celtic the way he did as a captain. Could I see him as a Celtic manager of the future? 100%. I would have no qualms about even looking at Bruni as a future Celtic manager. The way he spoke yesterday, like you said, Kev, he did speak like a manager, and he also spoke quite openly about who he still keeps in touch with Celtic. And I thought that the bit he'd spoke about, the touch of class for Ange Postecoglou, who says to him he could come out in the Aberdeen match and kind of salute the fans, and the fact that he knocked that back to stay professional as well just shows you the mindset of Bruni. That'd have been an easy decision for him to say aye. I mean, how hard would that have been to say no, I'm not going to do that? And it just shows you how professional he is and how focused he is on the team he's at or the job he's doing. So I think he'd be a good Celtic manager.
Hopefully we can have a serious conversation one day about that, because at the moment I don't think it's a serious conversation that you can have about the merits of Scott Brown being Celtic manager. And that's when he's actually proved himself as a decent manager, and we're not just appointing managers on names one day. But at the moment, we're all living in an Ange Postecoglou world, and long may that continue for the foreseeable future, no matter what the press try to put out there and try to link him with this week and stuff like that. Danielle F, I'm going to bring this up. Everybody in the comments is agreeing with us, and it doesn't matter your background. I know somebody was saying in the comments here, didn't he speak about a Celtic background, but we're talking about the inclusivity of this club.
Yep.
That we welcome everybody. And as Danielle, I think, hits it on the head there. As long as you're a good person and play your best, you're welcome here. That is true. That is complete and utterly true in my 40-odd years of supporting Celtic, that we've welcomed everybody, and all we ask them to do is try their best.
And it's interesting as well, like when Ange Postecoglou speaks about signing players, he doesn't just speak about signing the player, he speaks about signing the person as well. Mm-hmm. And he spoke about that on numerous occasions. So, because he always talks about kind of building a culture in the dressing room, and building a culture is about getting the right personality. And when you look at the kind of personalities he's signed, people like Joe Hart, Juranovic, obviously he didn't sign Greg Taylor, but those are the kind of personalities he looks for within the dressing room to help to kind of build that team spirit. So I agree with that comment wholeheartedly. It isn't just about the player, it's about the person.
Definitely. Xander Mack, I'm going to bring this in. This is funny. Everyone that plays for Celtic becomes a fan apart from Kenny Miller. Kenny Muller's got more faces in the Toon Court, but every one of them is orange, unfortunately, for him. Juan Douglas, Marty Pellow used to shop in the Cam Ross Co-op in his Rangers slippers. You still wanted to pal about with him, Paddy?
It was a complete miscommunication. Come on.
Oh,
Paul Joy,
you're never going to love that.
No, man, that's it. It's in there now.
Right, I think there's been a bit of pettiness over the last 24 hours as well. One after the semi-final draw, and we're actually going to speak about the semi-final draw. But I think there's been pettiness there's perceived pettiness for Rangers, there's perceived pettiness for Steve Clarke, and also this morning there's perceived pettiness from the Japan manager. Which one's the most pettiness in your book, Patrick?
That worked
in my head.
Who's more petty out of three? I think that's
who's more petty out of the three? There you go.
I would disagree the most with the Japan manager, certainly, because how you can't, I mean, Kyogo is Kyogo, but how you can't pick Itati on this form is just absolutely bewildering. The guy obviously doesn't want to win games, because there are not three Japanese midfielders who are better than Itati at the moment. There just isn't. Never mind, you know, five or six. It boggles the mind. I thought they were extremely unlucky not to get picked for the World Cup. You know, Kyogo had a great start to the season. He's scored 26 goals this season, for God's sake. And, you know, you can't wax lyrical enough about Rio Hatate. He's been absolutely sensational since... Well, he's been the best player on the team for the last 6 weeks, I would say. Up there with Aaron Moy, and arguably our player of the season as well. So, I'll go for the Japan manager.
So he was the least petty. What I would say about the Japan manager, Paddy, and I think you're going to agree with me here, is I reckon he's been petty because he just doesn't like the players and he blamed the league.
Yep, 1,000,000%. I wrote about it this morning, and his argument completely falls flat in its face by trying to blame the standard of the league, but yet he still picks Daisen Maeda. And then he also picked a player for the Austrian league, I can't remember the name of the player, and somebody for Bundesliga too. So, I agree with Patrick. Flabbergasted is probably the word I would use. They're not getting picked. I mean, what do they need to do to make it into that Japan squad? Not even the first team, but the squad. It's unreal. And if you look at the age of Kyogo as well, he's, what, 28 now? I mean, my worry is he looks at that and goes, well, what do I need to do to get picked for Japan? Do I need to leave Celtic and maybe look at that for the future? So... Real Hatate, he's what, 25? I think he's only got about two caps for Japan as it is in the now, so he's got plenty of time. But Moriyasu just comes across as maybe stubborn, and his stubbornness not to pick these two guys, and he's used that reason about the standard of the league as a get-out clause when, like I said, when he's picked Maeda, it just doesn't stack up for me. He clearly doesn't fancy him, so just be honest about it and just say, look, they don't fit in or whatever. I think he actually came out and said as well that, or somebody commented on Twitter, one of the journalists said that maybe he's not picked him because he knows the qualities they bring. But then he knows the qualities that Maeda brings as well. So mm-hmm. why is he picking him? The whole thing just stinks. It's something I've disagreed with him since the World Cup. He picked the Japan World Cup squad as well. I had a gripe about it, but I just think he's probably the most petty of a lot of them.
Maybe petty for me is wrong. I think he's been stubborn and he's shone a light on something which is an easy excuse for him, why he's not picking these guys because they're playing in Scotland. But as you say, it falls down because he's picked Maeda, and he's always picked Maeda. So he's got a get out there, say, well, I've always picked this player because he actually fits my system. But these two other guys are only playing in Scotland. I'm not really having a look at them. And I know for the guys in front of you, Itati, I think you've got the boy in the English Premier League. I think there's a Bundesliga guy, and I think there's a guy playing in France or Spain as well, and playing the exact same position as Itati in the midfield. So I am not going to lie, they are playing in a better league. But why does he not just come out and say, instead of giving this sort of, again, Patrick, this could have been lost in translation, because I'm only reading what was said on the Twitter, and it could be that he didn't actually mean what he was saying. He was maybe saying this in a wider context. But I just found it a bit petty that his point, that he's meant, the fact that he's actually brought up the league, right? And I know Scottish football's rubbish. We know the Scottish football. He didn't need to tell us the Scottish Football League rubbish. But to use it as an excuse for guys that you've never picked anyway, or to contextualise it in that way, I think, by the way, pal, just be, have some testicular fortitude there and just come out and admit it that you just didn't fancy them.
Nah, it's. I don't know whether he's just been naive and just looking at the top five leagues in Europe or something. And, you know, I think that'd be a very silly way to pick the squad, but that's almost the impression I'm getting, that, you know, oh, this person plays in the English Premier League, this person plays in France, this other one plays in Scotland, so we're going to pick the players from England and France because they're the better leagues. It's not necessarily how it works. I mean, I think the guy in England you're talking about, I think he plays for Arsenal, and, you know, they're not playing the Champions League this season, albeit they're going to probably win the league. But, you know, Hatate's, he's played in cup finals, he's played in Glasgow derbies, he's played in the Europa Conference League and the Champions League. He's not exactly not played at the top level. I mean, he kind of scored in the Champions League. I know it went down as an own goal, but I think it was on target. And then he got an assist against Leipzig, so it's not as if he's not performed. And he's obviously got a few goals against Rangers as well. So, I think, I'll be honest, I don't really know his thinking, to be honest. I know he's using the reason of we play in a lesser league, and we do play in a lesser league, but I think that's a very black and white, very simplistic view that he's taken, and I can't understand it.
It is a simplistic view, and we can only report on that simplistic view, or speak about that simplistic view because it's the only thing that we've actually got. There's a Kay Matsu, who seems to have his finger on some Japanese pulses, his words were mistranslated. Even so, the proof in the pudding is he doesn't pick Hatate and Kyogo. That's the proof in the pudding. And it will be interesting to actually see if he picks him for the Asian Cup when the serious games come round, because hopefully by that time Kyogo and Hatate might have more experience in the Champions League. So it'll be interesting to see if he changes his mind that he's
come. Well, when is the Asian Cup, Kev? When
December,
is that?
That's December.
December, right. Well, you'd think maybe picking them for the Kirin Cup would be a good chance for them to have a look at them, wouldn't it? And with that in mind, so I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make that squad either.
Mm-hmm. Barry McCormick comes in and says the exact same. Well, there it's. If they perform in the Champions League, they will force their way into the national reckoning. So, We need to wait and see. I want to bring up Steve Clarke as well. I think Steve Clarke's been extremely petty with Celtic since we refused to allow Taylor Ralston and Callum McGregor, who was actually injured at that time, go to, was it Cyprus for a friendly during the World Cup?
Played Turkey as well, I'm sure. Scotland in a friendly. Played Turkey, I'm sure.
Oh, I can't remember.
Turkey, it was Turkey, wasn't it? Cyprus. They're playing Cyprus.
They're playing Cyprus coming up.
So, Anki's been really petty because he says that he didn't understand why Ange didn't let the. He didn't think Ange wanted to let the players go, because Ange says, well, it's not an official international break. And he's brought up the Greg Taylor thing yesterday, Patrick, as well. That he says, there's a wee issue there and I haven't picked him for the squad. Eh? I like Steve Clarke as a Scotland manager, but he seems to be picking a fight with us. That's twice now he's picked a fight with us. And there's only one Celtic player in the squad, which is Callum McGregor, which is interesting as well.
Obviously, it'd be hard not to pick Callum McGregor. You could say Turnbull is justified. I mean, he's just came back from injury. He's not had a lot of game time. Scored one or two goals in February. But it's hard to justify picking a guy like that. But then, is Armstrong in the squad? I've not had an in-depth look at it. because you know
I didn't look at the squad.
I don't think Armstrong is in the squad.
Okay.
I'll check.
I seen a comment come in saying Taylor's carrying an injury. If that's true, it makes complete sense. Forrest, again, I think is injured and hasn't played in a while as well. So you could maybe make a case for Ralston. You know, you've got Patterson there who also hasn't played that many games either for Scotland or Everton this season. They're not a team doing particularly well. So it is, I wouldn't say concerning that he's picking fights with Celtic, but I think it'd be unreasonable for him to pick fights with Celtic if it's based on the one friendly we played and we didn't want to release our players, because ultimately the decision was down to us. It was a friendly game just before the World Cup. It's not a massive deal. You know, it's when we're playing competitive games, I don't think Celtic are allowed to kibosh it to keep our players. So I'm not sure what he's trying to win from this. He's, you know, shooting himself in the foot at the end of the day if he's not taking guys like Greg Taylor if they're fully fit, because Greg Taylor's having a phenomenal season. Tierney doesn't really get picked for Arsenal, and Liverpool aren't having the best season. I know Andy Robertson's still a top player, but I think it'd be foolish for him to shoot himself in the foot.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Stuart Armstrong is in the squad, we're getting told right. in the comments. I'm just having a look at the squad. I can understand Anthony Ralston not being in it. No, I can completely understand that. I can understand David Turnbull not being in it as well. I can really understand that. But the fact that he pointed out Greg Taylor, again, it just left a bit of a bad taste. It was the way that he done it. He actually clouded it in mystery. And you get Barry McCormick. Rumours are that Taylor has an Achilles injury, which we are hoping to manage through to the end of the season. Well, if that's the case, somebody tell us that then. Instead of having perceived digs.
But this is the problem that we've got into it. Now we've got a problem laid at Angie's door where people are looking for answers when maybe there's nothing there to add. Maybe there's no question there to answer. I thought it was quite cute yesterday that he did that. I want to use a different word than cute. Because what that did was, let's say, put pressure on the manager to come out and clarify what is the situation with Greg Taylor, to say it's a Celtic issue. Well, what if there's nothing wrong with Greg Taylor? What if he's fine? So what is it now? Does it turn into a Scotland issue or a Steve Clarke issue? I didn't like the way that was broke. And like you say, all the mystery now, all the Celtic fans are now thinking, well, let's find out what's wrong with Greg Taylor. Because it starts as rumours and nonsense that we don't need at this time of the season. But I just thought Clarke was a wee bit out of order with the comments yesterday. Could have just left it at that and no started this whole mysterious, I don't know, the mysterious answer to a question that was asked. I don't know. I just don't get it.
I mean, Patrick, it brings up that thing we knew. It highlights a maybe weakness in our squad that other clubs can target now if they see Greg Taylor's name on the
Okay, sorry, I just need to answer a phone call. My daughter's phoning me, right? Hold on.
No problem. So it's highlighted a problem maybe with Greg Taylor, which means that he could get targeted. I just found it a wee bit bad crack and a bit bad taste, and that's twice that I feel that Clark's called us out, put us in a position for no reason.
I totally agree. I mean, you're always going to have these problems, I suppose. I think it's an age-old thing with Celtic and Scotland managers. It's just, you know, we prioritise Celtic, they prioritise Scotland because we're the top team. They're always wanting our players and stuff. And it's always going to be a bit political, but I don't think we were out of order. And, you know, it's the mystery thing that you and Paddy are talking about. It's the fact that there's no clear answer as to what these issues are. As a major problem.
And we do know on Friday when Pans Postecoglou does his pre-match press conference, the first question for some guy with three fingers who writes with cranes will be, what's up with Greg Taylor? That will be the first question that's asked. Eh?
But knowing Ange, he'll be able to brush it aside with ease.
Make a joke of
the situation.
He'll be like an opening batsman, and he'll just go, I'll just knock this away for six. At the moment, I think Paddy's taking a phone call. I'm going to steal Paddy's Laverty's joke here. Is Matty Pello on the phone? It probably is. So while Paddy's taking that phone call for Matty Pello,
wait, release some new tickets. Is there a new tour coming?
I'll remove him the new and just wait till he comes back in. Right. Semi-final draw. I'm going to ask you a question. Which is better? When's a better time to play Rangers, in the semi-final or the final? There's been a number of things over the last couple of weeks. Over the last couple of days when we wanted to face Rangers. So when's better to face in the semi-final or the final?
I'm totally biased. I think it would be the final. I think it makes sense for us, makes sense for Scottish football, personally. I think if we were to both play Inverness and Ayr separately in the semis, I think you'd probably sell out both games. If not, you'd come close. And then in the final, you assume Glasgow Derby, you'd definitely sell that out. As it stands, there's going to be Celtic and Rangers fans going without tickets for our semi-final, and there's going to be probably about 20,000 empty seats for the Inverness. Falkirk? Not here. Falkirk.
Falkirk, aye.
There's going to be thousands of empty seats. And then the final, you know, you would imagine whoever gets through our semi-final is just going to be a walkover. I'm also biased. I think to win our eighth treble against our biggest rivals would be a brilliant. To complete the treble against our greatest rivals would be brilliant. We've not done it since 1969. We've only played Rangers in both cup finals in two seasons, 1966 and 1971. And in both those seasons, we won the league and we shared a cup each. So to beat them in every competition, again, I think would be quite satisfying. So I desperately wanted to wait until the final to get them. Obviously, you run the risk of them stopping our treble, but I think we'd have beat them on the day, we'd have beat them on the occasion. I think we will beat them in the semi-final. In my personal opinion, I think the final would have been better.
No, I'm not into that.
I've given you all those records we can break, Kev.
I know you gave us all the records. I think the one it chucks out when you actually see his eighth treble. I remember Martin O'Reilly delivering their second treble. Was it the third?
Aye, 67 and 69, I believe, were our first two trebles.
Aye, so the third, I remember that, and that being a big thing. And we are now going for our eighth, which is quite mad. No, I mean, I didn't want Rangers to win a packet of cold meat for a frigging Chernobyl, man. I didn't want them anywhere near any finals or anything like that. And I couldn't put up with the whole getting beat off them the last game of the season as well. And the build up to it. Oh, this is going to stop Celtic's treble. This is going to do this. And man, they won the league yet. I just didn't want them to get anywhere near a sniff of a medal in a semi-final is good for me. I would rather Raith Rovers put them. I would rather they got put out as early as possible. And the whole hullabaloo that's going to come up to the semi-final would be 10 times worse if it was the final. So I'm quite glad it is the semi-final, because if we won it, we've got a final to look forward to. If we didn't win it, then we can arrange the day something else with cup final day. That's it. And if cup final day is not going to be ruined, or it's not going to be great, it's just gear them nothing. That I would rather. I was quite glad that we came out in the semi final, and I also chucked up the interesting possibility that if we beat Hearts, Rangers, and Falkirk in the final, right, we can say that we've bet three Rangers-leaning sides on the way to the final.
We can,
eh? It's a Rangers treble. If you could take like that. No, I'm happy to get them. I'm happy to play them at any time, eh? And if you beat them in the final, you play them in the final. But I wasn't too upset that we came out together in the semi-final. I think it's probably better for my mental health for us to come out in the semi-final and go, right, get this out of the way quick as possible, and then we can...
My only caveat to that would be that if we lose the semi-final, they're definitely going to win the cup. So, it didn't, in my opinion, really matter what stage we met them at. We had to keep winning to stop them winning, and that's not a very good reason for winning. I want Celtic to win anyway, but if obviously we deprive them of a trophy as well, my opinion was we had to win it to stop them winning it because no one else is going to beat them. So it didn't really matter what stage we faced them at, if it's quarterfinals, final, first round, whatever. And what you're saying there, I mean, you're saying that would you say that you want Falkirk in the final to complete that wee sort of Rangers light treble? I personally would love Inverness.
That would be a laugh for me coming from Stirling. That would be a laugh for me. And Anthony Ace comes in, a Falkirk, a Rangers leaning side. I generally have never heard that. If you ever go out in Falkirk, Anthony, you will find out what I'm actually talking about. Patrick, Paddy's back, so I'll ask him this question. You all right, Paddy? Everything's sound?
Aye, everything's all right. That was Matt Rappel on the phone asking me to come on board, so I'll be signing a contract in the next half an hour or so.
Brilliant. Ask Patrick the question. Which is better, to play Rangers, the semi-final or the final?
I'm semi-final. Oh, man.
Patrick's the final.
1,000,000% semi-final. End of season early. It's got to be. And then let them have that 5 or 6 weeks of pain, knowing that we're in a final, going for a treble. Semi-final for me, 100%. There was talk on the radio the other day that a certain journalist said that the Celtic fans would all want to meet them in the final. Nah, no, for me. Because then you need to listen to the bravado. You need to listen to that nonsense again. It was leading up to the League Cup final. I just want them out, done, and that's it. Game over for them.
I've got a wee theory. Why Patrick wants him in the final, and me and Paddy want him in the semi final. It's because me and Paddy were alive during the '90s.
Oh, aye.
I think that this is some post traumatic stress.
You've had it great,
Patrick. Yeah, you've had it great for 20-odd year, a year existence. Eh? But we've still got PTSD for the '90s. And
you're thinking about the Raith Rovers Cup final, Ibrox. I've still got that. Oh, I kind of get out of that.
I've still never seen Paul McStay's penalty kick for that day.
I was actually
at the game, and I was just done in. When it went to extra time, I was done in, and I just couldn't watch the penalties. It was something in my gut, and it wasn't a skin full of Budweiser. It was just something there. I just felt this is no our day.
No, that same. So, young man, you don't know the decade of pain that you've had.
December 2016, we played, Rangers at Ibrox for the first time in, 5 years or something. And I was buzzing. I just turned 16. I was buzzing, delighted, because I thought, oh, well, we're going to beat them, aren't we? So this is fine. This is something to get excited about. And I went to the pub with my brother, drinking Iron Brews, and he goes, oh, I'm dead nervous. I go, how come? He goes, oh, no, it's Rangers at Ibrox. It's just... you do not look forward to these events, and obviously they've semi got their act together since December 2016, so it's not exactly something I look forward to now, but obviously I hadn't experienced feeling like that before. So I've learned my lesson in some regards.
Yeah, Ibrox, I've always said this about Ibrox, it's one of the best places in the world to be in the Broomlawn with 7,500 Celtic fans when you win. It's the most loneliest place in the world with 7,500 Celtic fans when you lose. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible place when you lose. And hats off to the 750 at Gona, because that must be absolutely petrifying.
Horrendous. Oh, aye. Horrendous. You're surrounded, didn't you?
Aye. Must be absolutely petrifying. We've talked a bit about the summer, and I must have missed this. Last week, Celtic appointed a new head of scouting.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Joe Dudgeon. Yeah.
Man City. There's a Man City connection. I think he used to be Man City youth manager, and he worked with Melbourne FC and also, was it Yokohama? Was it? Anyway.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, I read a wee story that Ange Postecoglou says he wants the scouting a bit better. And that's why this guy's been brought in, Joe Dudgeon's been brought in. And he wants free headline signings done early in the summer. Now, this was with Football Scotland, so they could have just been making this up. But I need something to discuss for an hour, so I'm taking it as gospel. So, Paddy, free headline signings.
Yeah.
Where will they be? Where do you want them to be?
Oh, one's got to be a striker for me. I think one's got to be somebody up front to help take the burden off Kyogo a wee bit. I think we still need that replacement for Giakoumakis. Always showed potential, which and he has shown that in the kind of the games that he's been in, but it's no potential we need up there. What if Kyogo gets injured the next game and he's out? Let's just touch wood it doesn't happen, but he's out the rest of the season. Do we really rely on O to lead the line up front? I mean, I suppose the lucky thing for us is we've got goals coming from the other park, so it might not really matter in the end. But it's not just the goals that Kyogo brings, it's what he brings to the team. And it's what's been spoken about the last couple of weeks, his movement, how he creates space for the midfield. So a striker for me has got to be one. Maybe a goalkeeper. I love Joe Hart. Joe Hart's brilliant. I think Seagrass is a decent keeper as well. I think Seagrass could possibly be the number one, but we need a keeper.
He's likely to be on a reality TV show. On a
I don't know how good Seagrass is with the ball at his feet, but we'd certainly need a keeper. The way we play and the amount of times the ball goes back to the keeper, we need a keeper that can do that as well as save. The third one, it's hard to say, really. Probably, I mean, in midfield, but we're pretty much there and thereabouts, unless somebody moves on in the summer. Maybe an central defender. I don't know. The third one for me, but two for me would be definitely a striker, possibly a keeper.
I'm being told in the comments that he was a City Group guy and he was in right. New York City. Yokohama was New York.
The knowledge of the Celtic fans always amazes me.
Aye. We've got so many great outlets there that do all these research for us and I just never read any of them. So I'll come on here and then he look knowledgeable whatsoever. I'm going to come to Patrick with us. This takes us in a wee bit of a tangent. Then I'll come to what you want in the summer. Someone on here says they can see us being part of the City Group. Getting Ange and Joe could be the start of that. How would you feel about that, Patrick?
I don't think that'll ever happen. Not formally, anyway. I think it's been pretty informal for the last 15 years. I mean, the amount of players that we get on loan from the City Group's incredible. Ronnie had links. Ange has links. Lowell obviously has links. That arguably the best run club in world football. Obviously, they, I think they're the second richest or third richest.
I think there's a dossier which is about 700 pages long.
Maybe the most ruthless or the most efficient, certainly domestically in England. Best managed team then in terms of like the football department. The team that everyone fears in England, the team that at the start of the season you would say, they're the champions. And, you know, obviously we want Celtic to be that. So I don't think it's bad to have a close relationship. I don't like the idea of this, the English Premier League way of hoping that one billionaire buys the other billionaire's 100% share of the club and, you know, we can get some oil baron to take us to Champions League glory. I would rather have Celtic the way they are now, owned by the fans. I'd actually rather see Desmond sell his shares to season ticket holders and stuff like that to have a sort of more German model of the fans running the club. Really just now is worst case scenario where you have two or three guys who have 51% plus and it's two or three guys who run the club as opposed to one guy having 100%. I wouldn't like that at all. Obviously you have the moral issues of the City Group and, you know, what they're doing in the Middle East and the governments are involved with, but I'm quite happy with the relationship that we have with them now. You know, we seem to be getting, you know, I wouldn't describe Ronnie as a top coach. I'd describe Ange as a top coach. Certainly, slightly lesser known managers that we can maybe surprise teams with, surprise ourselves with. Obviously, we're looking into different markets and we're using guys who have worked for the City Group to explore those markets. You know, guys like Mark Lowell and is it Joe Dudgeon, the guy that we've just brought in?
Joe Dudgeon.
You know, these are guys who probably have international knowledge of football markets as opposed to, you know, I think we openly admitted in 2019 as a football club that we were going to wait until the English market shuts to try and pick up cheap options from England under Neil Lennon. And who was the guy that came in 2019? God, what's his name? Nick Hammond.
Yeah.
That was basically our strategy, and it, we got Forster, we get Elanusi, kind of worked.
A lot of failures in there on Patrick, though, eh?
Aye, second season we spent $5 million in a Yeti, so it never really worked that well. Yeah. But and obviously Forster and Elanusi were loans. But I like the approach that we're having just now. I would say in the 9 years I've had a season ticket, this is probably the best run I've seen Celtic personally. We seem just unbelievably organised. I mean, signing Johnston and Oh before Jovanovic and Giakoumakis left, having Atate, Maeda and Adeyuchi in before the window even opens. I mean, I've never seen Celtic so organised, and to be constantly trying to develop and get better. And, you know, it's what Ange says, constantly improving, never stopping. Quite happy the direction the club's going in, to be honest, without complete control from the City Group.
Paddy, for me, any link with the City Group becomes very, very problematic if it ever becomes official. Then there's loads of questions that me as a sort of left-leaning Celtic fan would have to ask myself. And I know there'd be lots of Celtic fans would ask themselves that question as well. But then again, there'd be thousands upon thousands of Celtic fans which wouldn't care about it just as long as we're winning games in Europe and winning games domestically.
I think you're in danger of losing your identity as a club, aren't you, if you enter into some sort of official partnership with the City Group. I mean, would we be comfortable if we did that, paying stupid money and stupid wages for players to play in the Scottish League? I don't know. I mean, I'm with Patrick here. I quite enjoy the relationship we've got now. It's benefited us. We've got some decent players on loan.
some decent signings, permanent signings as well. Players like Boyata, with Paddy Roberts as well, who all came through for the City group. So I would say anything to make that kind of tie official should be knocked in the head right away. I wouldn't be a fan of it.
I'm not a fan of it either. Patrick, what three headlines, what headlines do you want to see in the summer? Know what might happen, what do you want to see? Let's talk fantasy, because we do talk fantasy on this.
Messi, Mbappe and Haaland, I think, would be the three that I'd go for. No, I'm with agreement in Paddy for two of the three of them anyway. I think goalkeeper, I think, is definitely number one. Yeah, that's just the first place I would look. I hope we've already got two or three names lined up ready to bid for them, because it's not to say Joe Hart's a bad keeper. I just think he's behind the rest of the squad, and he's obviously not going to get better at his age. So I think we need to sign a goalkeeper. And, you know, you're not asking much. You're asking for someone who's tall, a good penalty saver, good shot stopper, and good with his feet. So, yeah, I'm not asking for much at all. But
Barkas that man? Barkas could come back in the summer and be that man.
I know. Mind if he said he wanted to play defensive midfield before he kicked a ball? Unbelievable.
And he's his man, but,
he's not even tall either.
goalkeeper number one. I'd agree with striker, actually. Might change my mind in the, 12 games we've got left, hopefully, between 11 and 12 games we've got left. I just don't think we've got enough options. And I know we spoke about Giakoumakis leaving, and in my opinion, there's not a lot we could have done, because he was asking for wages that he was never going to get, and the only other option was to sell. So I don't regret selling Giakoumakis. I just think we need another option up front. The other position, it's a bit of a cop-out. I feel as if we're going to sell someone in the summer, and I would just like to replace that position. You know, whether it's a David Turnbull or whether it's an Atati, you know, I don't know what position it's going to be. I don't know what quality of player. I just think we're going to sell someone. And not to say that it's a crisis. I mean, obviously, we're all very attached to the current group of players. They're looking likely for a treble. They've given us some great times over the last 2 years. But obviously, the way that Ange works, the way that football works, we just need to acclimatise ourselves to players leaving, getting big fees for them, and reinvesting that money. So, a striker, a goalkeeper, and replacing whatever player we inevitably sell would be my answer.
My answer, there's quite a few answers coming in. Derek Smith, goalkeeper, striker and left back. There's another guy coming in for a left back. Are he's on the left back bus, boys?
No.
Maybe. I think we've only really got Taylor that we can trust in Europe, personally. And I think Europe is definitely where we need to keep our eyes on in terms of improving the squad. I think Burnaby's fine domestically. I think we can survive with him or Montgomery. You know, for periods of the season, I think, when you're playing those big games in Europe, I mean, we went into Leipzig with Welsh and Jens at centre-half. I just think we got unlucky a wee bit there, in my opinion, but I think if we want to be better prepared, you need to compare yourself to European teams.
It's funny that you mentioned Montgomery. The guys out on loan, I think Montgomery's the only one. Right, Mikey Johnson will play for Celtic in pre-season, because Mikey Johnson always plays for Celtic in pre-season. That's what happens with Mikey Johnson. But I think the only one that's maybe got a chance of staying there is probably Montgomery. And it's maybe because Burnaby hasn't settled yet, and Montgomery's got that on the left-hand side. I agree with the goalkeeper. I love Big Joe Hart. Absolutely love him. But he's not getting any younger. And we'd probably could look to upgrade in that position, or either that bring in somebody that's going to replace him. We haven't seen enough of Segrist because he's been injured for the last couple of weeks. I agree with the Joe Hart thing, and I do think we will bring in another centre for it. I really do. Where will my third one be? I'm maybe with Patrick on this. I think somebody will go, and we'll bring in a replacement for that. And I'm not talking about a David Turnbull going. I think I'm talking someday will actually go, who's been a major part of Ange Postecoglou's side, and that's who will replace. And I think the club will maybe have an idea who that is, and we'll be looking for a replacement for that already, because that's the way that we seem to be. That's the way that we seem to work, Paddy.
Aye, and it's probably likely to be, like you say, a first team player. I've got an idea in my head who I think it will be that will go. I think maybe it will be Starfelt that will go in the summer. Just simply for the, and this, I'm a big Starfelt fan. I defend Starfelt on my blog, and I've defended him on here. But I just think in terms of balance of that centre-half position, we've got somebody there that could step in and do that job. And he's shown in his last couple of appearances, he's shown at Tynecastle as well, that Kobayashi can step into that role and do a job. I think it might be Starfelt that will go in the summer.
So if Starfelt goes, you'll have Kobayashi and a new centre-half.
A new centre-half.
For competing for that.
Yeah.
Janking up. Patrick?
I mean, with age, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think he's 28, so it makes complete sense. Obviously, you still need leaders in the team, but I think we have that now. I think we've got like guys like McGregor, Taylor, Ralston.
They've got Hart.
We've got vocal characters, Hart. But I'm talking about Hart potentially not playing as much as well. I mean, I know he's still in the dressing room, but, you know, on the pitch, you're talking about leaders. I think Abada would be an outside shout. I know he's one of the younger ones, but it just feels as if every window there's chat about him. And he's one of the ones where if it's between him and Jota, I'd rather sell Abada. If it's between him and Kyogo, I think I'd rather sell Abada. It's just one of the ones. But, you know, I think Turnbull could leave, and I agree Starfelt could be one. And then if you're going to sell a centre-half, I'd definitely rather sell Starfelt. He's very close to Carter Vickers, but Carter Vickers is just another level for me, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was Starfelt.
I think you could see Welsh and Starfelt maybe going. I agree with Alan Robertson now. I don't think it's looking good for David Turnbull in the summer. I don't think it's looking good at all. Kei Matsu comes in and says we just need a goalkeeper. I'm hoping there's room for improvement with all the players that we've got there, but I do think Postecoglou will maybe have a look at upgrades in areas that we think that there's good. You mentioned Abada there. Yankee's done enough over the last couple of games when he started, Paddy.
He's an impact player, and he's getting that way. He's an impact player coming off the bench. He's good. He got his chance against St Mirren. Was it St Mirren he got a start? What was the game before Hearts?
He came on at half time.
So he did.
He changed the game.
And then he got a start against Hearts, wasn't it? The game after that, I'm sure it was.
I think so.
And he didn't really do much on that game. So I think for somebody coming off the bench, but that would be a luxury player, wouldn't it? You want somebody, if Abada's going to make it, he needs to be a first-team player. But then who's he getting ahead of? He's not going to get in ahead of Maeda or Jota. And then up closer, that's Haksabanovic, looks like a decent player, although he didn't have a good game against Hearts in the Scottish Cup either.
I'm going to disagree with that, because everything went down Jota's side. I just thought you had a quiet game, not a bad game.
We did discuss that post-match, and Big John said that he didn't do enough to get himself into the game, which when you look back, and I made the point that Greg Taylor was struggling to find somebody to kind of distribute throw-ins to because there's no movement in the left side of the field. But when Abada came on, he made himself available for when he came on in the second half. So I agreed with that as well, Kev. Everything was doing Jota's side, but to a certain extent, I can see the point John was making as well, that don't think Haksabanovic made himself available enough to get into the game. So there's pros and cons, I suppose, but aye.
Patrick, can you see Haksabanovic and Abada starting on Saturday in St Paddy's Day weekend against the Battle of the Greens against Hibs?
I mean, it's certainly possible. I feel as if we go into every game with Jota and the team sheet. Wouldn't be opposed to it. And, you know, I'm not in any rush to sell Abada. I've seen someone comment that. I'm not in any rush. I'm not in any rush to sell any of them, believe me. But of the players, I don't want to sell Jota, definitely. Like Jack Ivanovic, he's only just come in this season. We've not seen enough of him. Maeda, I just don't think any team would come in for the money that we'd accept. So you just sort of, you're left with Abada in terms of guys that you'd probably get about 10, 15 million for, but you could probably replace their numbers. I can certainly see Jack Ivanovic playing because, as I say, I don't think we've seen enough of him this season, and I think he's a really good player. I think he's actually a wee bit slow. Maybe that's just me not seeing the game properly, but I think he's a wee bit slow for a winger, but he's got bags of skill. And he's great in the ball, and he's a great shot. I mean, the goal he scored against Hearts was phenomenal. You know, a bit like Iron Robin cut inside and aim for the far corner. Just a classic. But no, I think Hags of Banner wasn't a bad eye. I could see that, actually.
Bernabeu's run made it easier for him. I'm going to back the wee Argentinian all the way there. Jamie Young comes in. Hacks are too slow to be a winger. He's a 10. I quite like him coming inside. I think he does a lot of good work when he does come inside. I'll be interested to see what happens at the weekend. I think it all depend on Maeda's injury, how serious that is, and if Ange Postecoglou ever tells us the truth about injuries. when he sits at press conferences. Well, I'm going to bring up Edward Diver. I'm not going to speak about that player leaving Edward, because if we speak about it, it may happen. That is. Folk who are listening on the audio podcast later on will be wondering who we're actually talking about. And it's only American that's playing in the team. It's only American that's playing in the team. that we're not going to talk about. Everybody, has been great. Please hit like, and because it helps the channel. If you fancy going to see Axel with Alan Thompson, the link is below this video. And Paddy and Patrick, it's been great having you on. There was over 500 there at one point. Wednesday's a strange day. It's a hump day, but everybody has got on quite nicely. And remember, lads, love us all around, eh? And dinna be bams to each other. I'll see you later.
Network.